Hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Rita Roy, CEO at the National Spine Health Foundation, and I'm your host for the Get Back to It podcast, where we tell real stories of healing and recovery. What does it mean to get back to it? It means overcoming injury through treatments that work in order to return to the people and activities you love, whatever that looks like for you. It means getting back to your life. We're here to share the success stories of those who did just that. And some of these stories you're not going to believe. At the Get Back to It podcast, our goal is to tell stories of spinal champions who've been able to achieve a better quality of life through spinal healthcare. In today's episode, I'm delighted to be speaking with Casey Sutherland, who at the age of 19 broke her back jumping into a lake. And 10 years later, while rock climbing, broke it again. 1 year after the second accident, she competed in a running event and won. Today, she is running 30 to 70 miles per week and living her best life. Now that you know what to expect, let's get back to it and dive right into Casey's story.
In 2009, at age 19, I broke my back while cliff jumping into an alpine lake while camping with newfound friends in the mountains above Denver, Colorado. A popular activity near our campsite involved jumping off a 40-foot cliff into St. Mary's Lake. When it was my turn, I jumped off the cliff feet first with proper form and did not hit any rocks or debris in the water. The impact, however, shattered my vertebrae.
As a teenager and young adult, including at the time of the first accident, Casey struggled with an undiagnosed eating disorder, unaware of how under-eating affects bone health.
After swimming to the surface, I could only remain in place, treading frigid water, unable to speak or move my body in a way to swim to shore. Friends swam me slowly to shore, carefully rolled me out of the water, and called search and rescue. After hours of lying in place with a T12 compression fracture, an alpine rescue team arrived and carried me out on a stretcher.
Once at the hospital in Denver, Casey asked the doctor if she'd ever run again, and although unable to recall his exact response, remembers he did not say no, which gave her hope.
For around 2 weeks, I remained in intensive hospital care with regular checks to ensure the bone stabilized and I did not develop paralysis. This was a time I remember in pieces. Over those 2 weeks, I went from not being able to roll over in bed or stand to being able to slowly walk down the hallway with a rolling walker.
Casey's treatment involved manipulating her back into place at one point. Surgery was initially planned, but ultimately decided against.
I was put into a hard, unremovable torso cast before being released from the hospital. I remained in this cast for around 2 to 3 months.
During this time, Casey's goal was to walk a little every day. She followed her spine doctor's instructions of not bending, twisting, or carrying heavy items.
My grandmother came to stay with me, and together we built my walking tolerance up to 7 miles on smooth pavement. After this first cast came off, I was put in a removable plastic brace for around 4 months. I continued to use the brace as a tool for 1 to 2 years, putting it on when my back was fatigued or hurt. About 8 to 12 months after the accident, I started running again. To minimize the impact, I avoided running downhill, fast, or on hard pavement.
Fast forward to 2019, Casey was rock climbing in Moab, Utah, and suffered a fall, breaking her back a second time.
I was clipping my rope to gear I had placed in the rock when my foot slipped. I fell around 10 to 15 feet, landing hard on my back. I was unable to move and remained in place until search and rescue could reach me hours later. They carried me down the cliffs on a stretcher to where a helicopter waited. I was then airlifted to the ER in Grand Junction, Colorado.
Casey was diagnosed with an L2 burst fracture and remained in intensive care for 1 to 2 weeks before getting transferred to the hospital's physical therapy program for 2 additional weeks.
I was assigned a physical therapist who was also an athlete, had daily sessions to build my strength, and met other patients who had suffered traumatic injuries. I did not have surgery. Instead, I was put in a plastic removable brace that was molded and customized to fit my torso. The day before my release, I was completing laps around the hospital floor with a rollable walker. I again built my walking tolerance over months and months.
Casey wore the brace while upright for 6 months. For the next year after that, she put it on whenever her back was hurting or fatigued.
I completed my first run of 1 to 2 miles while wearing the brace about 5 months after this accident. I completed a trail 50K a little over 1 year after the accident and won that race.
Wow, Casey. Casey, your story is so incredible and so amazing, and your resilience and your perseverance, and you're just continuing to go through with things. I'm just so blown away by your story. You know, the other thing that your story shows is how important it can be, you know, to get good care and to get, you know, take good action and have a good care team around you. When you jumped into the lake the first time and you broke your back, I can't imagine how scared you must have felt. Can you share with us what that was like at that time? What was running through your head and what you were thinking?
Yeah. So when I jumped off that cliff, I hit the water, and I just remember knowing immediately that something was very wrong. Time slowed down, and I remember being underwater and like looking up at the surface and just knowing like I need to get to the surface. And once I did that and was breathing oxygen again, I was kind of in shock, and I couldn't like talk, I couldn't move. And so friends came and swam me out, rolled me onto the shore. And then I initially wasn't thinking about paralysis, but I did know that like my back was hurting so much, and I knew that something was very wrong with my back. And so just waiting there, I was like trying to just kind of manage the pain. But once search and rescue did get there, they were asking me to like wiggle my toes, and like checking me out. And I did realize at that point, maybe I could have like was close to being paralyzed or could still be paralyzed. And that's like when the fear definitely set in. And I think that like being paralyzed was like my worst fear. So I was like terrified. Yeah. And then after that, they just carried me down on the stretcher. I had an ambulance ride down to Denver, and then I did have a really good care team around me. I do remember the ER doctor was like very kind and not like discouraging. I do remember. Yeah, I remember that. Had really good nurses.
That's amazing how you describe that so vividly, jumping into the water and then feeling like time slowed down and you're coming up slowly. Did your friends realize that there was something wrong? How did they know to jump in and get you?
Yeah, they did. Because I think I was in the water for maybe a few minutes, and they were shouting at me. They were like saying, Casey, like swim out. Like, what's wrong? Like, and I was saying absolutely nothing and just could barely stay afloat. And so, yeah, wow. I think two guys like swam from the shore and then kind of like brought me out. And I remember just saying like my back, that's like all I could say.
And was your back hurting? Could you actually feel pain in your back, or were you just generally in shock with the whole thing?
Initially, when I hit the water, I think I was in shock and just like treading water. But then once I think the pain kind of like slowly set in as we were like moving to shore, and then it was just kind of like intense pain until search and rescue can get there. And then they gave me medications, which made it better.
Yeah, that's incredible. Because the initial shock, you're just sort of like, something's wrong, but I don't know what, right? And then you get to shore and then you start to feel the pain and then you know something's really wrong.
I remember like I couldn't like move my torso really. Like it was kind of like stuck in place. Like I couldn't like go into like a horizontal position to like swim. So kind of just stuck.
Wow. And so Casey, that's amazing that you got to the hospital quickly and an excellent, you know, medical team there to meet you. And so you ended up staying in the hospital for a long time. What was that like, and why was it so long that you were actually in the hospital?
Yeah. I think I had just a really bad break. That T12 compression fracture, that vertebrae just like shattered and was smashed like a pancake basically. And, some of the bones were only like some of the pieces of the bone were only like a few millimeters from my spinal cord. So I was like extremely lucky I'm not paralyzed. I think I was just there because of the severity of the fracture. And I just like for almost like a whole week, I was just like in bed, kind of. I don't remember it super clearly because I was on like a lot of pain medication, but I was just basically in bed, not really moving. And then they had to manipulate the bone back into place, and then would try to get me up and like to stand.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember what that manipulation was like, or how, what that sort of treatment of that manipulation was?
Yeah. So once I don't remember exactly when it happened, but a few days to a week in, once I could kind of like stand up, they had me go into a room with, I'm not sure if it was like, with spinal surgeons, but it was with doctors, and they had me like lay on tables, and then they like moved my torso, I think, like pushed it in a way where I guess like the bones came to like were manipulated back into place to where they should be. But I'm not super clear on that memory, but I do remember it.
Yeah. That's incredible. And then you stayed for a few days after that to have sort of that set into place and observe you and make sure that things were progressing, right? Is that sort of what that plan was?
Yeah, definitely. And the doctors were kind of like debating what to do with me and how best I could heal. And initially they did plan surgery. And I believe the surgery was lateral lumbar interbody fusion that they were going to do. Mm-hmm. So they were going to like go in from the side of my torso and I guess fuse vertebrae together. But they decided not to, I think, because of a few reasons. One was that I think they were worried about something about like my size. Like they were worried I was too small or something to like go in and do that well, or at least that's what I was told. And the other piece of it was, I think I had doctors, really, really good doctors. I'm so thankful. They really like assessed the situation and like deeply thought about it, and like they knew I was young and maybe could heal on my own. And so they decided to put me in like a hard cast that you might like put on your arm, just or like anything you break. Yeah. Yeah. And we're hoping that would work well. And it did. And I was actually really nervous about getting surgery. So I was like happy with that decision.
Yeah. And that's amazing. And during that time, that was when you had asked one of the doctors if you'd ever be able to run again, right? So at some point in there. And describe that situation and what that was like.
Yeah. So I've been a runner for most of my life, since middle school track. And so that's kind of like my activity that I love, that involves like moving my body, and I would run every day. So I really did not want that to be taken away from me. So I did ask that question. I think that was one of the first questions I asked. And and I remember the doctor, he didn't give me a yes, definitely you'll be able to run, but he also didn't say no. And so I just remember thinking, oh, well, that means like I'm going to run again. I'm gonna pursue that and make sure that happens.
Positive thinking, power of positive thinking. That's amazing, Casey. Well, one of the things that we mentioned in the course of your story is that, you had some limitations with your bone health. And so was that discussed with you at this time? When did that come up during this conversation in looking at your bone, your fractured T12 vertebra, and considering how to treat it? Was that a consideration?
They did not. I don't think they did like a DEXA scan. I believe that's what you do for it to assess your bone health. Yeah. Yep. So they did not do that. So I'm not aware if that like played into the decision of whether to have surgery or not. And no one really discussed that with me. So at the time I wasn't really aware that I had like low bone density, but later looking back on everything, at the time I was like definitely under eating and like had struggled kind of with disordered eating, if not an eating disorder, like in my teens, and probably at the same time that this happened. So
which is not uncommon for runners, right? I mean, that's, we see that often with athletes, and particularly runners, who are putting on so much mileage and keeping weight down so they can go faster for longer, right? Did you find that to be the case in your running journey?
Eating disorders are, definitely, I don't know if I'd say common, but they definitely happen a lot within kind of the running community, especially among like running teenage girls. And I think that running maybe influenced that kind of developing with me somewhat, but other things did too. But I wasn't, at the time of this accident, I definitely was not aware of kind of like what under eating can do to your bone health. I had no clue. And so if I would have known that, I definitely would have thought twice about jumping off of that cliff. Because I know that, because of under eating, my bones were definitely more susceptible to breaking. So if I would have known that, maybe I would have made a different decision.
So interesting that we do a lot of education around bone health in the foundation. And one of the things that we're really trying to work on is getting the word out that bone health is important at every age. It's not just osteoporosis is not just a condition that you have to think about when you're older, but thinking about your bone health at every stage and at every age is so important and so critical. And we often don't think of our bones as being living, breathing, changing organ in our body, but it is. And there's this steady state that's happening in your bones of building bone and resorbing bone. And it's a very active organ. And so that's something we're working very hard on is to get the word out that everyone at every age should think about their bone health. But that's not something that we really learn about or talk about. So it's sort of like, how would you know? Right.
Yeah. I mean,
it's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. You guys are like spreading that awareness. That's really cool.
And so, Casey, we're just kind of wrapping up talking about this first injury. So when you left the hospital, did you leave in a brace and were you told to wear that for a period of time?
Yeah. So I was in that hard, like unremovable
torsion cast. Right.
Yeah. When I left the hospital and that kind of just, it covered my whole torso. There is like a hole in the middle where my stomach was. I couldn't it on or off. It was very like thick and hard. I couldn't take showers for around 4 months, I remember. My grandma did come to stay with me and she would help me like wash my hair in the sink. And that brace or the cast, it was like very uncomfortable. but it did make me feel really safe because the whole time I was recovering, I was like really worried about the paralysis. I was kind of like terrified of it. So that brace, the cast really made me feel safe because it kept like all my bones like in place where they should be. And like it prevented me from bending or twisting, which was very important while I was healing.
And did you have to have a special diet at all during that 4 month period when you were healing?
I did not. They did not give me like a diet plan to follow. They did give me like pain medication that I took home, but I stopped taking it soon after I left the hospital. But mm-hmm. my grandma was there to help me like cook and. Yeah, and we would take walks together every day.
So awesome. And hopefully you were getting lots of calcium as those bones were healing and in your grandmother's yummy cooking, I'm sure. It was very, very good for you.
Yeah, so. I think that's something, like maybe that we could have improved on, but yeah, we did not have a diet I was following.
And so were the doctors following you during the time that you had that unmovable cast on for 4 months?
Yeah. Yes. I had like regular checkups, I think.
And did you get an x-ray when you'd go in to see how things were progressing?
Yes. We'd have an x-ray and they'd discuss what everything looked like and how it was healing and that the bone was still stabilized. And that was about maybe once a month I'd go in for that.
Well, Casey, you're such a sunny, bright, beautiful young woman. I can't imagine what that must have felt like to have that thing on for 4 months. Did it get itchy? Was it uncomfortable? Like, how did you get through that time? Did you have to, were you in school? Did you have to stop school? Like, how did you manage your life? I can't even imagine, but it sounds like just the fear of the alternative of possible paralysis just sort of kept you going with that. But I'm just amazed and absolutely amazed by how you got through that. Can you tell us a little bit about what your day-to-day was like?
Yeah. Thank you. It was uncomfortable. It did get itchy. I was in school. I was a sophomore at Colorado State and I did continue with my classes. I didn't attend as many classes as I was beforehand. I did a lot of work like just at home. I had like a little apartment to myself that my grandma and I were living in. And then my mom visited me also. And so like, yeah, my family really helped me through it. And day to day was just kind of getting as much rest as I could and trying to eat good food, just doing schoolwork. And then we'd take a daily walk. And at first, those walks were short, and like at first it was hard to even like stand. So like even building like standing tolerance was important, but like the more I did those movements, the more I could do them. So just little by little, day by day, I would just like build that strength back. And it did like, it did hurt my back to even stand or walk, but we started with walks maybe one mile or so, and we did build up to like 7 miles, which was great.
Amazing. And so 4 months later, the doctors say we can take this, you know, unmovable cast off. And then they gave you a removable brace,
yes,
right? And so that just feel like freedom. It's like, okay, I only have to wear this how many hours a day as opposed to just all the time.
Right. Definitely. Yes, it was very nice. The removable brace wasn't quite as obvious as like the huge torso cast. So you could still like tell I was wearing like big t-shirts. So you could still like tell I had that removable brace on, but not nearly as much as like the huge cast. So that was nice. I would like attend classes in person more at that point. And the removable brace I wore anytime I wasn't laying in bed. And and it kind of just had like, it was made of like metal and then like had like padded sections. And one of like the padded sections was pressed against my vertebrae that were broken. So that compression actually felt really good. And it kind of just kept those bones still in place. And it also made me feel safe, and kept my back from being fatigued.
Wow. That's incredible. And so you started to feel better and better. You're walking up to 7 miles a day. And then you got the go ahead to start running?
Yeah, yes.
So when was that?
Yes, that was very exciting. That wasn't until maybe 8 months after the accident. So it was a while. It was very exciting. So just like it started with just very slow jogs, less than a mile, like during the walks that we would do. And then, just slowly building that tolerance and, getting slightly faster on the jogs. And at first, it was a lot easier to just kind of jog on like dirt roads or, services that didn't have a lot of rocks, like going over rocks was harder. But
the uneven terrain would be
uneven terrain was definitely harder to even just walk on with my back. But eventually I was trail running again.
Amazing. And, you know, you say, well, it was, it was 8 months after the accident that you were able to start slowly running again. But when you zoom out and think about that, that's within a year of a major accident like that. And this, treatment, the slow treatment, waiting for your body to heal. That was within a year. I mean, that was remarkable. Really amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. I'm very happy. It was less than a year. Very thankful I could get back to that.
And at some point you didn't need to wear the removable brace anymore. When was that? How much longer did you have with that?
Yeah. So I think that the doctor said that I could stop wearing it at that point around like 8 months or so after the accident. And I did like take it off sometimes, but also if my back was like hurting, I would put it back on and it would help me feel better. So I did kind of use it as like a tool, like even over a year after I had broken.
Yeah. 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 Interesting. And so then you just sort of sailed on to the rest of your life. And at some point you picked up rock climbing. And then we get, 10 years and boom, there you go again.
Right? Yes.
Oh, so when that happened and you fell, what did you think to yourself?
Yeah. It was very surreal. So I was climbing, I was leading a rock climb in Moab, and yeah, I had placed a piece of gear that would keep me safe, and I was about to clip my rope to it, and I didn't have a good handhold and my foot was on a ledge and my foot just slipped and I wasn't clipped into the rock yet. So I fell to the ground. But I remember as my foot slipped, that time really like slowed down again. And I,
no.
I remember as I was falling, just having all these thoughts going through my head before I hit the ground, and just most of it was just me just really not believing that this was happening. I was like, what? I can't believe like I'm falling right now. Like this is going to be very bad. Like I know I'm going to hit the ground. I'm going to break. I knew I was going to break something as I was falling. And I was like, oh my gosh, am I going to break my back again? This is so surreal. I can't believe this is happening. And just all of those thoughts going through my head as that time slowed.
Oh my goodness. And Casey, had you had any close calls at all during your rock climbing, I would say, era of your life?
actually, I'd been with other people who had close calls, but myself, I hadn't had any injuries from rock climbing or any close calls. But this was the day. There's always something that can randomly happen. And it is like a dangerous sport and you can feel pretty safe in it. And then it's just that one second, that one day, something can happen.
Yep. And how long were you a rock climber? So after your first incident, which had happened 10 years prior, and you were able to run again, when did you pick up rock climbing? Or had you always been a rock climber?
I picked it up maybe 2 years after that first accident.
You know, on the one hand, you could say, well, why would you pick up something where you might fall and hurt yourself again? On the other hand, it's, you have to do the things that you love and that you are passionate about, and you can't let fear of what's happened in the past hold you back from doing something in the future. So I really admire that. That's amazing.
I think that falling the first or not falling, jumping off the cliff the first time definitely made me aware of heights, and I do think that made me like more cautious as to like what could happen. And when I started climbing, I would only follow on climbs, which means that the rope would already be set up for me, so I would just get on the rope, and if I fell, I wouldn't go anywhere because I was already safe. So I started with that, but eventually kind of progressed to lead climbing, which is more dangerous. But yeah, I was in Colorado and like love the outdoors and nature, and people around me were climbing, and I love the movement of that also. So I did decide to rock climb.
Oh my goodness. So you're laying there and you're thinking, I've seen this movie before. Someone call me an ambulance.
Exactly.
So were you on a ledge? Was it hard to get to you where you were on this fall?
Yes, it was. It was kind of hard to get to us. Luckily, we had cell service. So one of my friends.
Oh, I didn't even think about not having cell service. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that would have been awful. But one of my friends called search and rescue, and it did take them a while to get there to reach us. So I was like laying there for hours and hours, not believing this was happening, but I, it was not good. Yeah. Wow. And then they had to put me on a stretcher, and we had to like go down these cliffs. So they were carrying me on a stretcher and were kind of like passing me from person to person down these cliffs. And I was scared again that I was going to be paralyzed. So I remember like when they were handing me down the cliffs, it really, really hurting because I was almost like in a vertical position at some points when we were going down.
Oh my God.
That was really hurting my spine. And I thought that like pain was an indication that they might have been like permanently hurting me. So I was like begging them to stop. when they were carrying me, they didn't stop. But that was, I'd say that the second, accident was more traumatic than the first one.
Wow. Just because of the location, probably where you were and having to get your way out of it and getting you to safety. That just sounds so, so frightening. Casey, I look at you today and I'm like, can't believe you went through that. That's incredible. So you're in Moab and did they helicopter you to a hospital, or how did you get to the hospital from there?
Yeah, they did. So we got down those cliffs to the dirt road, and there was a helicopter waiting, and I was kind of like in and out of it, and they had me on a lot of like pain medication.
Already? Oh, they already started pain medicine for you.
Yeah, when they reached me, after I fell, I was like screaming and just in a lot of pain, and then a few hours later, search and rescue, they reached me and they gave me pain medication immediately. And then, when we got down to that dirt road, there was a helicopter waiting. And then they airlifted me to Grand Junction, which was, it's a 2-hour drive from Moab, shorter in a helicopter.
Yeah. Gosh. And so there you are, you're in the ER. Are your friends with you at this point, or were you had to have probably somebody with you?
Yeah. They drove, from the side of that.
They met you there. Yeah. And so then they told you in the ER there that I'm sure they got the x-rays and told you it was an L2 burst fracture. And what did you think at that point?
When they told me that, I was not surprised because I knew that my back had been broken. Like when I hit the ground, I knew I had broke it again because of the pain.
Oh my gosh.
So I wasn't super surprised when they told me that. But I was just kind of like devastated that this was happening again.
So back to intensive care you went for that? Is that what?
I did. Maybe I was in intensive care for a week. And again, it was kind of like, it's kind of like a blurry memory for me because of just, I think the trauma and all the pain medication I was on. So I just remember pieces of it. But again, I had like amazing nurses that were taking care of me. And again, I couldn't like stand up or roll over on my own.
But you knew what to do this time, I guess, right? An expectation of what to come. And so did it feel, did you feel hopeful this time as well? Did you ask the same questions? Will I be able to run again?
Yeah, I did feel hopeful. I actually felt more hopeful this time because, yeah, that first time I didn't know what to expect and it was all new and I was so young. But the second time I was like, okay, I know what this is like. This has already happened to me. I've already gotten through this. So I was like more confident that I could get back to running and was determined to do that.
And determined to do that. So for this time, you didn't have the unremovable cast. You had the removable brace, right? This was when they did the customized plastic brace for you.
Correct. Yeah. So I'm not sure why they chose not to put me in the hard cast again. Maybe the break might have been different. Yeah. Or not as bad, but, they molded my torso and then made a removable plastic torso cast that like fit me perfectly and supported my back. And I could take that on and off. So when I was sleeping, or laying down, I could take that off, which let me sleep better.
that's a relief from the last time, yeah. I would think. Like not as bad as last
Definitely.
Time.
Definitely. Yeah. It was more comfortable.
Yeah. And so this time the recovery was much shorter. It was just 5 months of brace wearing, right?
Right. Yeah. And I did kind of like repeat the process that I had done the first time, but everything just moved a little quicker. So, once I was out of intensive care, I did physical therapy in the hospital for about 2 weeks, and that really helped me and like gave me hope. And I would go every day to the physical therapist that the hospital had assigned me, and we would do little exercises and we'd take little walks around the hospital. But again, I couldn't like bend, twist, or carry anything. And it was like that process of kind of like relearning how to like walk and building standing tolerance, walking tolerance. And then once I was discharged from the hospital, I would like record my weekly walking mileage and just kind of like slowly built up that mileage again with walking.
That's amazing. And Casey, that must have really interfered with your life at that point, whether it was working or the other activities that you were doing. You had to manage all of that all over again. That's what was that like for you?
Yeah, I actually went back to live with my parents for, I want to say maybe 3 months or so. Because I did need help. I couldn't drive anywhere. It was hard to like get in and out of a car. So I went to live with them, and then I was like working in Moab at the time. I was living in Moab. And so I took time off work up to like half a year, I think. I wasn't working.
Wow. Wow. Well, that was so fortunate that you had such wonderful family support around you to help you get through this so you could focus on your healing and building your strength back. And, you know, fast forward 5 months after this accident, tell us what you did again. I can't believe it.
Thank you. Yeah. So I started jogging in those walks, and slowly built up my running again. Actually ran 10 miles with that plastic brace on at one point. But, and then I competed in a trail 50K about a year after the accident, and I won the race. I was like really worried whether I could get through that or not. And like, I was worried about like my back impacting me and limiting me, but I did wear like a, kind of like a stretchy back support while I was running, which definitely helped me. But yeah, I was so happy that it was possible. I could like race and compete and run what I wanted again.
I don't know why anybody wants to run a 50K, but God bless you. That's not in my list of things I want to do, but that's that. So I'm amazed by that in and of itself. And then just, you know, within a year after this major injury, it's just such a testament to your determination, your perseverance, excellent medical care around you, wonderful support system, and just deciding to get through it and to get back to the things you love doing. Such an amazing story, Casey. I'm just thrilled that you're sharing this with us. And I hope people who are listening are getting inspired by you as well. I know they are. Casey, how did you find the National Spine Health Foundation? How'd you find us?
Yeah, I was just searching for nonprofits that spread awareness about spinal injuries, and also helped people with injuries that weren't just paralysis. And so I did want to like share kind of like what happened to me, because I know when I was going through all of this, the more hope I had, the better. And I was really like scared and worried that I couldn't get back to what I wanted to do, and I couldn't pursue my running dreams. And I was really afraid of that. So I think if I would have had like someone who had been through a similar thing, or had heard a story about someone who got back to like being an athlete, that would have really given me hope, and I wouldn't have been as scared, or I wouldn't have been as, yeah, I would have had more hope, I guess.
Wouldn't have felt so alone. But that's what we are here to do. And so I just thank you so much for finding us and reaching out to us and being part of our community and sharing your story to give other people hope. That's just remarkable. It's just amazing. So tell me, so now where are you in your life, and what are you doing? And are you rock climbing still and running? And have you picked up any new sports? Tell us what you're doing now.
Yeah. So I quit rock climbing. I stopped rock climbing that day that I fell. I think I loved rock climbing, okay, but I think I got my fill of it. I'm still running. I love running. I really like competing in trail 50Ks, and I'm hoping to train for like a sub 3 marathon this winter.
Gosh.
Yeah, I really like mountain races. So I've been doing like races that where you run up mountains and
it sounds horrible. But I'm glad you can do it.
I'm lucky enough to kind of, I'm working for myself right now. So I'm a graphic designer, and I do a lot of like artwork, and that actually really helps my back, because I'm able to draw like laying down, so I can kind of like rest my back throughout the day. I don't have to sit in a chair. Sitting in a chair is like something that hurts my back the most, I'd say. So I'm really lucky. I don't have to work in a chair all day.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So let's just talk as we're wrapping up here. What are some of the strategies? So in addition to having good ergonomics at work and, you know, being able to position yourself well, the ongoing sort of care and maintenance of your back and strengthening your back, can you tell us a little bit about what are the things you do? I suppose some of the physical therapy exercises you've learned, but what other kinds of things to strengthen your back do you do?
Yeah. So I do the physical therapy exercises, and Those really help because they're specific to like my injury. I need to kind of like strengthen one side of my back more than the other, and stretch one side of my back more than the other. So stretching in a certain ways help me also. I think keeping my spine flexible helps me a lot. So I roll my back every day pretty much, and it'll like pop, which actually feels really good. And I think keeping it flexible helps. And
flexible and moving,
staying active, running. I'm so lucky it doesn't hurt me. It actually sometimes makes it feel better. So I do run every day.
That is amazing. That's wonderful. And I'm here to say, make sure you have a calcium rich diet, Casey.
Yes, thank you.
Get that calcium in. Get that calcium in. Take care of those bones. Are you following your bone health with a DEXA scan?
I'm not. That's something I would love to do. But I try to really eat healthy, and try not to like under eat.
Yeah, that's great. Well, put that on your to-do list down the road to, get a measure, get a baseline of where you are with your own health, and, so you can watch that. All right. Well, I'm going to go into our closing here. And I guess before I do that, Casey, was there anything that you didn't say that you want to say? Did we cover everything, or was there anything else?
I think that there is one question about giving advice to someone who's struggling with a spinal injury. Yeah. And I think maybe the most important things for me were to really celebrate those small accomplishments, because those do mean so much, like even just standing or taking like a few steps, whatever you can do is huge. And I think that in moments of despair, it's really important to look back at like where you came from and where you were when you had your injury, or your accident, and to look back and see how far you've come from that.
That's such good insight. And just one little step at a time and not give up, right? That's just so good. Thank you for sharing that, Casey. Casey, it was such a delight to meet you and hear your truly miraculous story of incredible perseverance and determination. I know that sharing it with our community here will no doubt help someone else gain the confidence and fortitude needed to work hard and make the right decisions for themselves as well. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing with us. At the National Spine Health Foundation, something we believe in most is providing hope for recovery through sharing stories of success and expertise. It isn't always easy to find someone to relate to, even though 100 million adults suffer from neck or low back conditions every year. To hear more stories of spinal champion recovery and access educational materials about spine health, visit us at spinehealth.org. If you're interested in supporting our show financially, you can contribute at the link provided. Thank you for listening.